of his disobedience to God. As chapter 21 of 1 Kings opens, Ahab wants Naboth's vineyard. And he goes to Naboth and tries to trade him some land. In case there was a tax implication, they could do a 1031 like kind exchange. Or he would pay him for the vineyard. And Naboth likes his vineyard and doesn't want to sell his vineyard at any price. And so Ahab goes home dejected. And Jezebel says, I'll solve this problem. So they have a feast, and she sends word to put Naboth in a prominent place and put two dirty, rotten scoundrels next to him, and for them to tell that Naboth has blasphemed against God and the king. And they do, and Naboth is put to death. And Jezebel comes home and tells her sulking husband, go get Naboth's vineyard. Naboth is dead. She was a lovely woman. And so, as rotten as Ahab is, there is a prophecy against Ahab. Let's begin at verse 20 of 1 Kings 21. Ahab said to Elijah, so you have found me my enemy. Ahab and Elijah, remember, have run-ins a lot. Ahab says, you're the one who stirs up Israel. I have found you, answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, what's Ahab about? He just does evil in God's sight. That's who Ahab is. I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin. And also concerning Jezebel, the Lord said, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evils in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. Ahab's as bad as they get. But let's read on. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and ran around meekly. We saw the king of Nineveh in sackcloth this morning. Remember, it is a sign of humility, a sign of mourning. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. So, because of the evil of Ahab, the disaster that God had prophesied about, had told him about through the prophets, was going to come. But it wasn't going to come in the days of Ahab. Why? Because Ahab had changed. He had humbled himself. Still don't find Ahab to be a great guy. I mean, he deserves it, doesn't he? But how merciful is God? Because sometimes it's a very different picture than what we often get of God. Now, is he still a just God? He absolutely is. And so there will be trouble who will come on the descendants of Ahab because of the sinfulness that he had led them to. But most of our inclination when we read about how evil Ahab is, and then when he goes and kills a man for his vineyard, or his wife does, she eggs him on. I mean, that's about as low as it gets, isn't it? That's about as low as, you know, if you wanted to do a documentary and you take a poor innocent guy who has the family vineyard he doesn't want to sell and the king comes in and puts him to death so he can have his vineyard, who could have had, you know, vineyards upon vineyards? They're low. But even Ahab, when he humbles himself before God, God is merciful to him. God is a God of mercy. Always a God of justice, but a God of mercy. And I find that God is merciful to those who it would be very difficult to be merciful to. We're going to study in the next few weeks from the Sermon on the Mount. I want us to remember this, because when Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that's really who God is. God is merciful to even those who seem so undeserving. God is merciful to us because we're rebellious as well. But God calls us as his people to be loving of those who are not as lovable. In fact, the scripture will say, what have you done if you love your brother, if you love those who love you? There's nothing to that. Even the heathens do that. But God calls us to love our enemies, right? Pray for them. We see that God is merciful even to someone as wicked as Ahab. Chapter 22 is just interesting. I want us to read it together. It's an interesting, interesting chapter of Scripture. For 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, who was king of Judah, went down to Ahab, who was king of Israel. And it's interesting how in this chapter he is referred to as the king of Israel. Doesn't call him Ahab, calls him king of Israel multiple times. The king of Israel had said to his officials, don't you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram? So in the prior wars, hadn't been a war now, we hadn't been to battle in 3 years, they lost Ramoth Gilead to Aram, okay? And so now the conversation is, that city belongs to us. What are we going to do about getting it? So he asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me to fight against Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people is your people, my horses is your horses. All right? We'll pitch in with you. We're right there doing everything we can do to assist you to go take this city back from our mutual enemies. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. Let's make sure that the Lord wants us to do this thing. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, now, who are these prophets? Who are these prophets? Remember earlier we talked about that there were priests and prophets who reported were not from the Aaronic priesthood. And we've got worship going on at the high places that God had said, destroy the high places. Remember, it's a problem even for Solomon, who builds the temple, but because he doesn't destroy the high places and they continue working, scholars believe that these are prophets who were associated not completely with idol worship, but with kind of pagan worship at the altars. So it was kind of quasi-pagan, quasi-worship of God, that they would have acknowledged God, but they're not worshiping him in biblical ways, because it's not going to be we're going to see that they had even forgotten how to worship God. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, asked him, shall I go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord whom we can inquire? In other words, these guys aren't pure. I don't really believe they're dedicated to God. They're involved in this pagan style of worship. So the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there's still one man to whom we can inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. This almost sounds childish, doesn't it? I hate him because he never tells me what I want to hear. He never tells me, he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. But why is that? Because Ahab, you are rotten. You make the Grinch look like, you know, he ought to get a peace prize. He is Micaiah, son of Amaiah. And I'm not sure how to pronounce those. The king should not say that, Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel called one of the officials and said, I'm just going to call him Micah. That isn't how you pronounce it, but it says it. Micah, son of Amaiah, at once. Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria. Now Zedekiah is going to make, he's going to make a prophecy for them. With all the prophets prophesying before them, now Zedekiah, son of Kenahiah, had made iron horns, and he declared, this is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. He's got a visual aid. All right? And, you know, hey, all they've got 400 prophets, and they're all saying, go, go, everything is great. All the other prophets are prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hands. All right, they're in their royal robes. They're wanting to go take the city back. The prophets are all saying, the Lord is with you. You're going to be victorious. Great are these kings. The messenger who had gone to summon Micah said to him, look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. That's when you really don't want a prophecy, right? You're just looking for validation, correct? Hey, everybody, this is going well. Don't spoil it. Just pitch in with them and tell them everything's going to be all right, and this will go well. There was a joke years ago, not to malign anyone of a profession, but appraisers, the designation for appraisers is MAI, was one of the bodies that you could get a designation for appraiser. And the joke was it was made as instructed. In other words, you know, do you want it a little high, a little low? Where do you want this? And there is some flexibility. Kind of to the prophet, here you go. Let me tell you what kind of prophecy we're looking for. Let me give you the idea of what we're looking for. But here's his answer. As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. In other words, here's an honest prophet. Here's a prophet who I give the prophecy as it is revealed to me. I don't know whether I like it or don't like it. It's not my opinion. It's what the Lord tells me. When he arrived, the king asked him, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain? Attack and be victorious, he answered. Okay, same thing. For the Lord will give it into the king's hands. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And he answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesied anything good about me but only bad? I told you he was going to spoil this. 400 folks tell me yes, and he tells me I'm going to die. He continues, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the hosts standing around him. And this is interesting. Standing on his right and on his left, and the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacketh Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this, and one suggested that. 5 a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means? The Lord asked. I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all of his prophets, he said. Now, let's stop there just a moment. The scripture is quick to tell us that the Lord does not lie, nor is there any deceit in him. So exactly what this prophecy means, I'm not sure whether this deceiving spirit is Satan who has gone out, or whether it is Ahab's own desire that has pulled him out and he's just given this in a prophetic way. But here it is. It's kind of confusing. It's interesting. It's an interesting passage. I told you when we started, didn't I? But Ahab wants to go. There is discussion. You know, yeah, we'll entice him to go because the Lord has been merciful to him, but God said destruction will come, right? And Ahab is really going to be the source of his own destruction. You will succeed in enticing him, he says to this lying spirit, says the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster on you. All right, stop right there. Let's don't look ahead. He's saying to him, all these other prophets are lying. Whether it is because they want to protect themselves, they've been given lying, and he may just be figuratively here. You wanted them to call on the Lord. Hey, a lying spirit spoke to them. But I'm telling you the truth. That's ultimately what he's saying. Everybody else is lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. Now, we're going to see Zedekiah here in a second. So now the Lord said, then Zedekiah, son of Kenai, went up and slapped him in the face. We got a prophet, one prophet slaps the other. He said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go, this lying spirit, when he went from me to speak to you? What he's saying is, you full of it. You lie. Which way did the Spirit go when he left me? In a smart aleck way, he's saying, you might be lying and not me. That's what's going on here. It's just kind of interesting. But this man is dramatic. And he's the one who made the horns, remember? And now he's already, we done had a slap down. All right, and we're going to have a smart reply back. I like it. You will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room. What does that mean? Back in chapter 20 and verse 30, we've got the walls of the city falling, destroying lots of people, and they hide in an inner room. It is a fulfillment of prophecy. So, what he's saying is, when what I tell you comes true, and you're hiding in an inner room because everything is coming down around you, you'll know who told the truth. That's what he's saying to him. But it's kind of graphic. Kind of interesting. It's an interesting exchange. But I want us to read and understand what's going on now. I mean, they've been prophesying. We got Ahab who's crying because this man won't do anything but give him bad news. And they're slapping each other.
Safe. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, here's something interesting. Ahab is a cover-your-own kind of guy. All right? He is not your buddy. And we know that the way he treats other people, right? He takes what he wants. So what's he doing with the king of Israel? He says, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear the royal robes. I'm going to go in disguise like a regular soldier, but you wear the robes and you look like the great leader. Well, who are they shooting at? I don't know why Jehoshaphat agrees to that. I say, look, king, I don't know what he had on him. I don't know. But some, but I mean, you know, you kind of look at that and go, man, you are 180 dollars. You know, but here's the deal. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. Ahab tries to dress in a way where the prophecy won't come true. But you don't hide from God, do you? You don't hide from God. This is really a serious point. And it's a serious point here. That God always knows. God is merciful. But when God's plans are not fulfilled, it's because God in his mercy and spared. It's never because we've escaped God or his knowledge or his power or his judgment. And it's futile to try. It's futile to try. What do we need to do? Be humble and obedient to God and allow him to protect us, not to try to outsmart or try to outrun God. What Ahab tries to do. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. The king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone small or great except the king of Israel. Cut the snake off at the head and it will fall apart. That's what his strategy is. When the chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, the chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel and stopped pursuing him. I don't know what he cried out. I don't know whether he cried out, you know, in a battle cry, whether he yelled or rallied the troops, or whether he was crying out like a scared girl. I really don't know. And I would like to know. Wouldn't you? But anyway, they realized it was not the king of Israel, and they started following him. But they still don't know who Ahab is because he's in disguise, right? He didn't have a name tag on. He hadn't dressed up. So how does Ahab die? But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his arm. He just fired and hit feathers, Sam. He just fired. I don't know how many yards it was. And he hits him, he's got armor on, but he hits him in the place where he was vulnerable. The king, Ahab, told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fight. I've been wounded. All day long the battle raged, and the king was propped up in the chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran into the floor of the chariot, and that evening he died. As the sun was setting, a cry spread through the army. Every man to his town, every one to his land. What was the prophecy? They would be like sheep without a shepherd.